take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Once you arrive at Luke 8, I want you to find verse number 26. Luke chapter 8, verse number 26. The sermon today, I call it this: what happened when the maniac of Gadara got saved? What happened when the maniac of Gadara got saved? And may I say, just prior to starting, we have a lot of young Christians in our church, a lot of people that have not been saved for a long time. If I were you, I would listen. Listen extra special if you're a younger Christian. To all of you that have been saved for a while, you might want to just be reminded of what happened the day you got saved. I call the sermon, "What Happened the Day the Maniac of Gadara Got Saved." Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Would you all stand with me, please? I'm going to read, a handful of verses here, so stay with me. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 26, it says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." Now, I want you to look at verse 38 and 39. It says, "Now the man out of whom the devil were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thine own house, show how great things God hath done unto thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." Verse 35 tells us this: "Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." And let's pray. Father, take the simplicity of today's sermon and get lots and lots of mileage out of it, please. I pray, God, that the newer Christian will understand what a blessing has come upon them through this thing called salvation. If somebody here is not saved, may they realize what a wonderful thing it would be to be saved. To those that have been saved some years, may we be blessed and reminded of what you've done for us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, if you will. Let me quickly review the story for you a little bit. This is a story of what we call the maniac of Gadara. Jesus arrives in a country. It's a country where it's called Gadara. The people that live there are called the Gadarenes. He meets a man that's unsaved. And to be honest, this man was considered a maniac. This man lived like the devil. He acted like the devil. You wonder, you know what things you would consider as far as behavior would be for a bad person. Whatever you'd consider, this man was probably guilty of it. He in the New Testament is really pointed out as being a very vile, a very nasty, a very wicked man. This maniac of Gadara, the Bible says, he wore no clothing. This maniac of Gadara, he lived in the tombs or in the graveyard. They had tried to bind him with chains, but he broke them. They had bound him with fetters, and that would have been like handcuffs that they would have put on the feet. but that did not hold him. He was nasty. He was unbathed. He was filthy. I'm sure his hair was long and not washed, and he probably smelled bad, and he was unkempt. His nails would have been long and yellowed and curled, and his beard would have been nasty and matted, and he would cut himself and bleed, and then the blood would dry on his body, and I'm sure the insects were around, and he'd sleep in the tombs. And the Bible actually says that this man in the evening would howl at the moon like an animal. He was unsaved. He was a picture of what sin will do to a person and what the devil does to a person that's unsaved. And then he met Jesus. And the next thing you know, he gets born again. And the Bible says they find that maniac clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning how to succeed in life. What an incredible story. Now, I want you all to know, all of us, when we were unsaved, maybe you were not guilty of the same things that the maniac was guilty of, but his biggest problem was he'd never trusted Christ. That was his biggest problem. There were multiple other sins or misbehaviors that he was guilty of, but all of us were undone when we were unsaved, and we were all, the Bible says, our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. And so the maniac of Gadara was known all over the place, this wild, nasty man. Now he meets Jesus. He gets born again. When he gets born again, he now is clothed. He is now sitting calmly. He is now thinking right. And he's at the feet of Jesus. I love what the Bible says. Jesus says to this man, "Now go home and tell everybody what took place here. You go home and you tell your friends and you tell your family what happened today." I think this, and the Bible teaches. Do you know what he did? And look right this way. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says he did. He went and he started telling people, and the Bible, the scripture says, word spread everywhere about what had happened to this man. I don't know for sure how it worked. But Jesus told him, he said, I don't know the guy's name, Mr. Maniac. He said, "Mr. Maniac, or Mr. Ex-Maniac, I want you to go gather people together, and I want you to tell them what happened." He did. He did. I don't know if he started walking up and down the streets and saying, "Look, over at the park, there's a pavilion. You meet me there in a minute. I'm going to tell you all what happened." I think he went home and he said to his wife and he said to his kids, who I'm sure at first glance were scared to death of him, because he wasn't living at home, not prior to salvation. He, I'm sure, got to go home after that. I wonder if he went home to his wife and kids and maybe his parents, his aunts and uncles, and everybody said, "Look, we're going to have a bit of a family reunion, but we're doing it today. I want you all to meet me down at the park, and I need to tell you about something." And word spread, and children were running up and down the streets saying, "You're not going to believe it. The maniac, he's not in the tombs. He's meeting with people down at the park. Something has happened, and it's miraculous. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. He's clean, and he's acting right, and there's something happened. The Nazarene Jesus talked with him, and something has changed the maniac." And I think Mr. Maniac thought there'd be 8 or 10 people show up. But I believe down at the park pavilion, there were so many people, they didn't know what to do with them all. He had to stand up on a picnic table. He said, "Folks, thanks for coming." You know what? He didn't have to calm the crowd down. They were already calm. They were so amazed at what they were seeing. He began to talk and he said, I spoke with Jesus Christ earlier, and he told me that I should share with you what happened to me." And he said, "Let me tell you what happened to me earlier today. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He said, let me explain what they told me. I was told that I was a sinner. He said, you all know me. That wasn't hard for me to accept. Then I was told that there was a penalty for my sin. And he said, I already knew that. I had rubbed shoulders with the demons of hell, and I knew that there was a penalty for sin. It was death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. And then he said, and the next thing I was told is that Jesus was the Savior. I was told that He would die for me, would be buried for me, and resurrected for me, and that if I would trust Him as my Savior, I could be forgiven of my sin and I could go to heaven someday. And then I was told if I would just by faith receive Jesus into my heart, I could be saved. And He said, folks, I want you all to understand, I did it. I did it. I agreed that I was a sinner, and I agreed that there was a penalty for my sin, and I agreed that Jesus Christ paid that penalty, and that He was going to do it with His death, burial, and resurrection. I believed it by faith, and I asked Him to come into my heart and be my Savior. And here I am. I'm saved. I got saved. And He told me to tell y'all. So I thought I should tell you. He said, but wait. He said, there's more. After I got saved, I cleaned up a bit because I just knew I should. Then I went and sat by His feet. He began to tell me some other things. He said, do you know as a part of this getting saved, I was forgiven of all my sins. He said, y'all know me. All of them. He forgave me of all of them. Acts 10:43, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth on Him shall receive remission of sins. Everything I committed, everything I've stolen, every lie, every immorality, Jesus told me my sins are gone. Maniac said, folks, I'm looking forward to putting my head on my pillow tonight because I've got a hunch I'm going to be able to fall asleep. He said, in times past, I could not bear what I was and what I'd done, but I've been forgiven. I'll tell you all, I appreciate you coming out here and talking to me. I'll tell you this, I should have done that thing of getting saved a long time ago. He said, but not only that, I became a son of God just a little bit ago. Y'all, I'm a son of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You see, the maniac said, I was God's creation prior to salvation, but at salvation, I was not only His creation, I became His son. I became a son of God. He said, I know what you all think of me. I think you thought I was a pig. He said it not because of me, but the pig has become a prince. I'm saved. I'm one of God's sons. Look at me. I get to be spiritually in God's eyes royalty, not because of me, but because of Jesus that I had a conversation with a little bit ago. He saved me. I am somebody. Not because of who I am, but I'm somebody because of whose I am. He said, but wait, I was sitting there at Jesus' feet, and when He's teaching me after I got saved, He told me this. He said, do you realize when you got saved, you have now passed from death unto life? From death unto life. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I have passed from death unto life. I am now going to live forever. I get everlasting life as a part of my salvation. He said, and I'm looking forward to both living my life now and living my life later. I think the maniac said, there are lots of times I didn't look forward to living my life now. And in the past, there were lots of times I did not look forward to the life hereafter. He said, but now I look forward to it. I'm saved. I was forgiven of all my sins when I got saved. I became a son of God when I got saved. I passed from death unto life. He said, and folks, I've got to tell you something. This might be hard for you to understand, but when I got saved earlier today, Jesus told me I now do not have to go to hell. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. He said, and again, he said, you all know me. You know how the demons and the nasty, vile, wicked, hateful life that I lived. There are probably some of you that would have predicted that I would split hell wide open someday. He said, matter of fact, I expected it myself. He said, I'm not going to have to burn in the fire now. I'm not going to have to face the pain of hell now. I will not have to go to that super torture chamber that was created for the devil and his fallen angels. And I no longer will go to that place where the worm dieth not. I'll no longer go where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'll no longer go and fall for all eternity with never-ending pain. I'll no longer have memories of my wickedness. I'll no longer be in that place of darkness. I'll no longer go to the place where I would have been separated from God for all eternity. I'll no longer go where thirst overwhelms but nothing will quench. I'll no longer go to the place where I would have been separated from my family for all eternity. He said, folks, I'm sorry if I'm getting excited, but just earlier today I was on my way to hell and I met Jesus Christ and I'm born again and He told me to tell you what happened and I hope you have a few more minutes because it's getting better and better. He said, not only was I told I didn't have to go to hell, Jesus told me He had made a place called heaven for me. Colossians 1, 5 and 6, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. He said, I'm not only not going to hell, I'm one of God's kids and I'm going to His house. When I die, he said, for some of you here in the city of Gadara, probably maybe it means something to you, maybe it doesn't. He said, I've been living in the graveyard. I had no home. Today I got saved. And he told me he was giving me a mansion. He told me today when I was listening at Jesus' feet, he said, listen, Mr. Ex-maniac, in heaven, there's no wrong side of the tracks. There's no ghetto in heaven. You don't have to worry. When you get to heaven, it's a wonderful place. There'll be no pain there. There'll be no sickness there. There'll be no death there. There'll be no funerals there. There'll be no walkers there. There'll be no wheelchairs there. There'll be no growing old. Oh, no, not at all. Amen. You won't need false teeth when you get there. Huh. If you listen to the scripture, if you read it, Jesus saved the maniac, sat down, had a talk with him, told him, now go tell people what I told you. The Bible says the maniac about turned the area upside down by telling them what had happened in that short setting. I think he said, you know what? He said, I want to tell you all real quickly, there's a part of this that kind of amazed me. Jesus told me that when I got saved, it made heaven happy. It made heaven happy. Luke 15:7 says, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. He said, Jesus told me when I got saved, the people in heaven shouted for joy. They virtually threw a party. He said, I'm not having anybody throw a party for me for anything, ever. He said, but they in heaven threw a party for me. Heaven got happy over me. He said, this is amazing.
to me. I'm a nobody, a nothing. Matter of fact, the worst of the worst, but He saved me. And then I thought, wow, I'm saved. But then He began to go into some detail about what that meant. And I'm amazed at what I learned. They were throwing a party for me. I don't know, the maniac said. I don't know how long them parties last, but since I got saved earlier today, they may be up there still partying over me getting saved. Matter of fact, if you party a lot, depending on how wicked the person getting saved, they're going to be partying for weeks over me, because I was one bad dude. I was the trash in the bottom of the trash can. When God reached down, He reached down low to pick me up and to set me on that rock. And if the party lasts long, if you're a bad man, my party up in heaven is going to be a good one.
Amen.
He said, and then He told me about a thing called the rapture. Scared me. I heard words about it. By the way, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." He said, I was told that Jesus was going to die. He would go to heaven, and one day He was going to come back. And when He comes back, He's going to get His children.
Yeah.
And we get to go back up with Him. He said, what a deal. He said, I get to be a part of that. I'm not going to get left behind. He said, then I was told, I get a thing called everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the length of life. He said, I'll never die. What a wonderful benefit. I will never, never, never die. He said, and then Jesus told me, He said, not only everlasting, but eternal. And I said, but Lord, isn't everlasting and eternal the same? He said, not exactly. Everlasting is how long. Eternal is the quality. He said, and I am going to get this eternal life, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the foundation of the world began. He said, that is a quality. It's an excellent life. It's a superb life. It's a marvelous life. So I'm going to live forever at His house with Him, the people that just threw a party for me. I've been forgiven of all my sins, and this life that I live is going to be eternal or superb. And I think the maniac probably said, y'all have to forgive me. I'm still kind of sorting through all this and I'm trying to absorb it all. I'm trying to tell you what He told me is mine because I received Christ as Savior. He said, did you know He told me that I have now been given a special joy in my life? 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, I got to tell you all, folks, I've been sad. I've been depressed. I lived out here and, you know, right over there, right beside the park at the graveyard. You all mocked me. People threw rocks at me. I was ostracized. Nobody liked me. I was depressed. He said, He told me that when He saved me, He placed the potential of a supernatural joy inside me. He said, I haven't been able to stop smiling since. He said, I have not laughed for years. He said, I was walking through town just a little bit ago and I seen Chris Edwards and I burst out laughing at his face. I've been so depressed. I get so down and it just overtakes me. He said, and then I got saved and He told me that there was a joy that was now available and He would make that joy available for me and I could take it in life and I didn't have to be like that. He said, this, what happened to me is incredible. He said, and then the Savior, while I was sitting there, He said, by the way,
I need to tell you about the peace that's now available. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. He said, you trusted me for salvation. I want you to have peace, my son, about your eternity. You're going to heaven now. You're going to heaven. I want you to have peace to know I'm going to watch out for you. I want you to have peace to know that I'm not going to let you go through anything in this life that I won't go through with you, my son. I know what you can take. You have my word. I'll never put more on you than you can take. You're not only going to have your peace, I'm giving you my peace. I heard Jesus whistling a little tune. I asked him, what is that? He said, it's a song that I sing. The maniac said, well, what's the words? Jesus said, it goes like this. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right. Maniac said, I've been singing that all day long. He said, get this. Everybody, those of you in the back, say, you're not going to want to miss this. I mean, let me tell you. Then Jesus told me, he said, here's what I'm going to do. Now, the moment you got saved, I moved inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I am now not just with you. I am in you. Ephesians 4:30, in Greek, not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. And Jesus said, I'll go with you. I will lead you. I will help to steer you away from wrong. We call it conviction. I'll help you. I will comfort you like no one can. I'll be available for you 24/7. Hey, Jesus said, look, after I go, maniac, you're going to hear some preaching. Here's what's going to happen. When that preaching is going on, that Holy Spirit inside you is going to connect with that preaching, and you're going to be in awe. You're going to sit back when the preaching's going on, and you're going to say, oh my, I can tell he's with me. It'll be different than before. Maniac said, did you know this? He told me that with my salvation, I would then be given the ability to understand the Word of God. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, Jesus told me because of salvation that I could now understand the Word of God. His Spirit would lead me. He said his Spirit was going to be like a supernatural interpreter from the inside. Things that I didn't understand about the Bible before, now that I'm saved, I'll understand. And he said, you know what? As he was explaining that to me, a light came on and said, you know, he'd been talking to me for 15 minutes about all these things and none of it ever made any sense before. And I said, yeah, I got it, Jesus. It all making sense to me now. This all used to confuse me, but it all makes total sense. And I get all this, I get the total package. Jesus said, absolutely. All of this is yours because you got saved. The things I used to doubt, I don't doubt them anymore. The things I used to mock, I won't mock them anymore. The things I used to hate about God, I love about God. You know, I turned to him. And I said, Jesus, I love all this, but I am worried. I lived bad for a long time. I'm scared. Can I have victory over my sin, over my flesh? And Jesus said, yeah, Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He said, you can have victory. You know, I told him, I said, Jesus, in times past I tried to overcome some of my sin, but it didn't work. And Jesus said, try it again, now that you're saved. What's going to make the difference? I'm now living inside you. Believe me, it's going to make a difference. You know, there were some demons that got cast out when I was around. I could hear them in the background, making all sorts of noise when I was explaining what God had done for me. And it was obvious they were upset because I'd figured it out. I figured out success is all about Jesus Christ. And I don't have to live for the devil. And I can have victory. And I can do something good with my life. And I can hear the pigs in the background making all their noise. Because they knew that Jesus had salvaged me. And I was catching on to what needed to be done to be a successful Christian. Did you know? Jesus told me, he said, Maniac, Mr. Ex-Maniac, you can get baptized now. John 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Oh, not to save me, because I was already saved. He said this is just a step of obedience that you take after salvation to show people on the outside the Jesus that you believed on the inside. I talked to the preacher. I want you all to come to church tomorrow. I'm getting dunked. Come watch the baptismal service. Yes. Then I was told, after I got baptized, I would have the privilege of joining the church for which Jesus died. He told me, you get saved, you get baptized, then you can join the church. Acts 2:41, and the same day added unto them about 3,000 souls. Huh. He said, it's been some big weekend for me. It's been incredible. Who would have thought? I just heard that Jesus was coming to town, and I kind of went out and thought I would antagonize the Christians. And then I met him. And he looked at me and he said, I love you. Come here. And I did. And he saved me. And all this. Then he told me, he said, son, go tell everybody. I don't know what to say. You just tell them what I told you. Tell them what I did for you. I think the maniac said, I'll do the best I can. Jesus said, that's all I expect. You know, that maniac turned that area upside down for Jesus Christ. No training. He just knew what had happened to him. Jesus said, I could win my friends like he won me. Hey, Joe. We partied together in the past, but I'd like you to get saved, Joe. Sue and Mary, hey, you know who you are. I know I've been a bad man, but I want you to get saved. I think he looked around the crowd. He said, he told me that I could tell others. He said, that's what I'm doing. I think the story goes on. Time won't allow me to go on with the story, but let me tell you this. There's some of you here. What I've described to you today, that's the same process here to go through. That's the process that is yours. Some pieces of that puzzle you've left out, you've not claimed. Hey, born again Christian, a simple, simple sermon. But you need to be reminded. Jesus would want the same for you, has done the same for you, and requires the same for every born again Christian. And some of you have been around a long time. You say, Pastor, you didn't say anything I did not know. That's funny to me because your life doesn't show that you know it. So you've got the head knowledge. But you know, we need to get what's in your head to your hands, to your mouth, to your life. Oh, but not only that. There's some of you that are newer Christians. You're saying, all of that? There are people in here that have been only saved 3 or 4 days. You're sitting in this auditorium. There's some that just been saved a few weeks or a few months. And you're saying, is that? Oh, so you know, yeah, all of that. But I'm sorry. That's only page one. There are hundreds of pages of what is yours. I just gathered a few of them to tell you today. You say, well, where can I learn the rest? Hey, if you're a new Christian, right there it is. Oh, but it's good for you to know. The same thing, new Christian, that God did for and on behalf of and expected from the maniac. That's what He wants from you.